John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah 17:7. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Next Sunday morning, we will deal with the subject, final events of history, in the first session. The second session next Sunday morning will be ultimate destiny of humanity. 1 week from tonight, we will deal with 1 Thessalonians 4:17, with the subject, a meeting in the clouds. We look forward to those services next Sunday. Final events of history. Ultimate destiny of humanity. A meeting in the clouds. If you have time between now and next Sunday, I would encourage you to look at 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It is a magnificent verse of Scripture. And we will enjoy studying that in coming sessions. Now, before we have a moment of prayer, I'm going to be a little bit humorous because I found something that I think you might enjoy having a little chuckle about. We realize that there are various hymns that people sing, and these are hymns that individuals have chosen for various types of professions. Occupations. For instance, a dentist hymn would be, crown him with many crowns. A weatherman's hymn would be, there shall be showers of blessings. A contractor's hymn would be, the church's one foundation. The tailor's hymn, holy, holy, holy. The golfer's hymn, there's a green hill far away. The politician's hymn, standing on the promises. The optometrist hymn, open my eyes that I might see. The IRS agent's hymn, I surrender all. April the 15th is real close. Monday, April the 18th is the last day this time. The gossip's hymn, pass it on. The electrician's hymn, send the light. The shopper's hymn, sweet by and by. The realtor's hymn, I've got a mansion, just over the hilltop. The massage therapist's hymn, he touched me. The doctor's hymn, the great physician. And then for those of you who speed, here are some special hymns for you. At the speed 45, God will take care of you. At the speed 65, nearer my God to thee. At speed 85, this world is not my home. At speed 95, Lord, I'm coming home. And at the speed 100, precious memories. I thought you might enjoy chuckling just a little bit tonight. You have your Bibles open, please, to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. Father, we bow with grateful hearts for the fact that we are your children. We realize that we are saved by your matchless grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. This is not because we deserve this magnificent gift. It is not because we merit it in any way. It is totally because salvation is a gift of God through Jesus Christ to mankind. And that salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. We're thankful for the fact that we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have this magnificent verse we're studying here tonight. We pray that we will have open minds and open hearts to these wonderful and magnificent truths. This is a passage of Scripture that gives us assurance, that gives us hope, that causes us to rejoice. And that's our reason tonight for looking again at this magnificent verse, because it gives us great assurance. It gives us hope. It causes us to rejoice. These words are so powerful. And so we pray that in these moments that we're analyzing this verse, that we'll be able to take the things we learn and make use of them. And we thank you for every wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll look at the verse on the screen, if you'll look at it on the back of last Sunday's bulletin, we're going to plunge right into Romans 5:2, which says, through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice upon hope of the glory of God. You cannot understand Romans 5:2 without, first of all, as we studied last week, understanding Romans 5:1. We're not going to look back at that verse other than to tell you that Romans 5:1 emphasizes the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this verse, Romans 5:2, begins with an understanding, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had access by faith. When I analyze this verse, I realize that there are at least seven beautiful words. Now, I know that there are many more words than that in this verse, but I want to give you these words and let you write them down. The first word is the word faith. We'll look at it just in a few moments. The second word is the word grace, if you'll write that word down. The third word that is used here in the original text is stand. The fourth word is rejoice. The fifth word is hope. The sixth word is glory. And the seventh word is God. Now I'm going to go back over those and let you see them as we look at them in the original text. If you'll notice, the Scripture says, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had access by faith. And so there we have, first of all, the first word that I've given you, and it is the Greek word pistis, and it is the word which has been translated faith. I will not take the time tonight to go into a long discussion on each one of these words, because I have too many other things to share with you. But the first word here is faith. We have access by faith into this grace. So the second word is grace. Grace is God's magnificent favor splashed out upon each one of us. Grace is the means by which we have come to know Jesus Christ. It is the Scripture that says, for by grace you're saved, through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a works, lest any one of us should boast. The third word that we find here is the word stand. A beautiful word indeed. Let me take just a second or two to tell you that the Greek word there is histone. If you're looking at the back of your bulletin or looking at the screen, you're seeing the word stand. And I'm reminding you again that the word is a perfect tense verb, which means that our standing took place in the past. And the standing was consummated in the past. And the result of that stand continues to this very present moment, which is an emphasis upon the eternal security of the believer. A perfect, active, indicative, first-person plural of histeme, H-I-S-T-E-M-I. A beautiful word, stand. We're standing on solid ground. The next word is rejoice. The word is unique in that it is the word kaomai. Perhaps a little bit harder to understand, perhaps a little bit harder for me to pronounce. Kaomai. It is the word which means proper living, successful, a right base of operation. It actually comes from the root word auchen, A-U-C-H-E-N. What I found there was so important to me, because that root word is the word which emphasizes neck. It emphasizes the fact that the neck holds the head upright. And so it's an emphasis then upon what holds the head in an upright position. It refers to living properly with God that makes it possible for us to live an upright, successful life. And so we have the words, and it's unique in that this particular word is used in the middle voice. If you'll notice, it's a present middle indicative, kakaiomai. It's always in the middle voice because of the fact that it gives to us personal self-motivation. Do you remember what the middle voice is? The middle voice says that the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. This is telling us that when we are properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be continually benefited thereby. That's the reason why it's the middle voice. The next word is elpis. It is the word hope. The next word is glory, doxa, glory. And the last word there is the last word in the sentence, theou, God. So we have beautiful, magnificent words, seven beautiful words in this Romans 5:2. The word elpis is the word emphasizes expectation, joyful confidence, faith. In Romans 15:13, we have the scripture that talks about abounding hope. In Titus 2:13, we have the scripture that says that we're looking for that magnificent hope. And we all are aware of the fact that God has for us something great in the future. Now, stay with me, please. Hold your hat real tight, because we're going to look at some things very quickly. First of all, we're going to look at the fact that God has given us a plan that will make us joyful, happy, radiant, successful individuals. This we've called through the years the building of the edifice, the spiritual house of the soul. We understand that there are various levels of the spiritual house. You've seen this a number of times, and we will not stay on this particular transparency long, other than to tell you that the foundation is salvation. Above that is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Above that is full knowledge, which is epinosis. Above that is humility. And above that is the floor called agape, relaxed attitude. The next is the floor called philos, love, or rapport. And then it takes us to where we are in our verse of Scripture, Romans 5:2, and that is rejoicing. And that comes from the Greek word chara, which is the word for joy. Now, this is an emphasis upon building the spiritual house of the soul. Now, I have on the screen another transparency. I will read some of this to you, and we will not take the time for you to take it all down. The storm of sin and depravity brought spiritual death. We know that's true. The storm of sin and depravity brought spiritual death. The miracle of regeneration, though, and the miracle of maturity brings victory. And that's what we find in our verse of Scripture, Romans 5:2. When the storms of life arrive, you and I must understand that it is the truth umbrella that protects us. And we call it the spiritual house of the soul. There are many words that are used in the New Testament, three of them primarily, for this word edifice. You'll see it listed here, akademi, or akademi. I put it in English and then I put it in Greek. It is found in 1 Timothy 1:4 and other verses of Scripture, and it's described as edifying. The Greek word akademia is also used. It is found in Colossians 1:25. It's translated there, stewardship. It's also translated dispensation. The next word is akademos, which is used in 1 Peter 2:5. It's translated built up. The verb akademeo is used in Galatians 2:18, where it's I build. I need to stop for just a moment to tell you that the word is unique in that the first part of it is all the same, O-I-K-O, 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 O-I-K-O. I'm not stuttering. I'm just giving you four words, the first part of it. It comes from O-I-K-O-S, and that is the word for house. So that's the reason why we've chosen to call this the building of the spiritual house of the soul. And so we have a house, then we have the next part of the word, dome, and nomia, domos, domeo. These are various other aspects of that same word, which emphasizes stewardship, dispensation. It emphasizes being built up. It emphasizes I build. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, we're told that we're living in a dying body. Now, many of you are saying, too many times you said that, preacher. But I need to remind you and me that we are living in a dying body, but we should be living in an advancing, growing soul. In other words, we should be getting dressed for the banquet. Now, I want you to know that there are many things in life that are important. Your children are important. Your job is important. Your finances are important. Your promotions are important. All of these things in life are fine and good. All of these things are important. But there's not anything more important to you and me than our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're getting dressed for the banquet. And so spiritual house of the soul, or the edifice, or the stewardship, or the dispensation, is described in various ways. Ephesians 5:1, imitators of Christ. Ephesians 3:19, knowledge in the mind. Ephesians 3:17, Christ at home in our lives. Ephesians 4:23 and 24, we're a new species. 2 Corinthians 5:17, spiritual death is gone. Then he tells us that we're to go to our spiritual wardrobe and get dressed. And that's found in Colossians 3:12. I'm not going to go into all these words, but there are various types of beautiful, magnificent garments in our spiritual wardrobe. Mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and all of these words are described in the original language. Now, some of you are saying, we've heard this before. That's true. We have analyzed over the last weeks something that's called radicals. I've tried to give you a definition. I'm going to repeat that definition tonight. The word radical means going to the root or origin. It's trying to find out what the base meaning is, forming the basis or the foundation, fundamental precepts, concepts, ideas. If you want a synonym for the word radical, it would be translated as or defined as original, primary. With this, we've taken the fact that there's the birth radical, faith. There's the maturity radical, spiritual advance. There's the eternal blessings radical, And that's when we leave this life and we're with the Lord forever and ever. We've understood in the past days, if we've looked at these, that the various radicals are emphasized in a magnificent way. They're emphasized by what we call the X radical, is what is called the Y radical, is what is called the Z radical. And in each one of these, there is what is known as hope. Hope 1, hope 2, hope 3. You ought to have this down somewhere in your notes, because we've gone over it enough times. As we look at hope 1, it's an emphasis on salvation. As we look at hope 2, it's an emphasis upon how God wants to bless us while we're here on the earth. Blessings in time while we're on the earth. And hope 3 is an emphasis upon the blessings and rewards that God has for all of us in eternity. Now, all of you are going to be able to remember this. And if you don't have this down, I would encourage you to do it. Put it down, because this is so magnificent. We're going to go through this rapidly, and then we're going to draw some conclusions tonight. The X radical, human life imputed to the soul. Adam's original sin imputed to the old sin nature. That spells a potential, a possibility. The gospel is presented that brings about a hope. And when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, they are born into that magnificent kingdom called regeneration, God's kingdom. Now, you're seeing here imputations, and we've already emphasized that. I'm not going to go into any discussion tonight on the word imputation. I think all of us realize and remember what imputation is all about. Human life imputed to the soul. Adam's original sin imputed to the old sin nature, which means that when we come on the scene as a little baby, we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. That means that there has to come a change in us, and that change comes when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. We hear the gospel. There's the gospel of salvation. We accept that gospel, and then there is the completion of hope one, and that is, of course, salvation. The birth salvation, or the birth radical. The second radical is the Y radical. An emphasis upon judicial imputation number 1, judicial imputation number 2, which equals a potential. I'm sure that you remember that judicial imputation is an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ, without sin, took upon himself our sin, went to the cross, he was judged for us. As a result of that, judicial imputation number 2, we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. He saves us. It's a magnificent potential. After we receive salvation and we appreciate the judicial imputations, we then are desirous of spiritual fuel, or spiritual food. And that's what you're doing here tonight. So it spells another hope, hope 2, which means that we're going to advance spiritually, grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That takes us then to the Z radical, and we've not even touched the hem of the garment on this one. We're going to begin to look at it again tonight, and then we're going to let you see where we're going to be in coming days, and I've already announced the subjects. But once we get to the Z radical, it is then that we have an appreciation for eternal life. It's a time when we come in our individual spiritual lives where we appreciate the blessings that God is giving us and is giving us in time. And so we are reaching a potential, which is called potential number 3. Is it this time that we are in a position then that we can begin to understand the importance of various spiritual concepts and spiritual ideas and doctrines? And some of those could include eschatology. Eschatology, of course, is just the word which means the study of last things. And that's the reason why over the next sessions, we're going to be getting into some of those subjects. And I think you'll enjoy that. You may not enjoy the last one that we're going to be giving you, undeserved suffering, but we're going to get there and look at it. And then this brings us to hope 3, which, of course, is the fulfillment of Romans 8:28, which says we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Now, most of you remember that we've looked at this often times, And we're going to look at it right now for just a few seconds before I begin to give you some notes to take. Romans 8:28 is the fulfillment of these radicals. You see them on the screen. We'll not repeat them. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. So we have an emphasis then on the fact that God is working things together for our good and His glory. It is by His grace, and we have so magnificently presented to us this magnificent verse, Romans 8:28. Now that takes us back to our verse of Scripture for tonight. I need to tell you that there are various blessings that God is going to give us in life. Some of those blessings are spiritual blessings. Some of those blessings are temporal blessings. Many of those blessings are blessings by association. There will be historical impact blessings in relationship to our witnessing and our influence upon others. There will be undeserved suffering along the way, and then God will eventually give to us a dying grace. So that brings us now back to our scripture, which is Romans chapter 5, verse 2. And I knew you'd be ready for some notes, so here we go. Are you ready? My, you didn't know I was going to go so fast through all of that. But I want to deal with you on the subject of hope. H-O-P-E. I'm going to slow down now and give you some points. Number one, when saved, a person has the reality of hope won. When saved, a person has the reality of hope won. Now, what I want you to see, if you remember what we've been studying over the past sessions, we've emphasized that God's plan is in relationship to salvation for mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Scripture emphasizes very vividly that when saved, a person has the reality of hope won, salvation. You have to understand those words that I'm giving you, the reality of salvation. A lot of people are confused and frustrated and bewildered and perplexed because they don't really know whether or not they're saved. And the reason they don't know whether or not they're saved is because they're depending upon the wrong thing to cause any determination. They're depending upon how they feel. They're depending upon whether or not they've joined a church. They're depending upon whether or not they've observed some church ritual. They're depending upon their emotions. And oftentimes people who depend upon the emotions find themselves, and they don't realize it, they find themselves in a revolt in the midst of their own individual souls. Because you see, emotion doesn't have character. Emotion doesn't have biblical concepts. Emotion does not have those things. You must see that. Don't depend upon your emotions. Now, I'm not being ugly to you. I want you to see something. When saved, a person has the reality of hope won, salvation, based upon what God's Word says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, John 1:12. That is what God's Word says. I know I'm saved, not because of how I feel. I'm saved because I know what God's Word says, and I know that I have done what God requested that I do. I believe. Now, let's just use this as an example. Let's say that I love Mexican food, and it's true that I do. And let's say that I go to the Mexican restaurant here in town, and I just really go all out. I mean, I eat, and I eat, and I eat, and I enjoy everything that I can eat. And when I get through, what I realize is now, you know, I shouldn't have done it. I'm just flat miserable. You know what? I don't believe I'm saved because I'm so miserable. My stomach hurts. I feel like I ought to go to the men's room and up chuck. I shouldn't have done it, but here I am. I've done it again. I guess I'm not saved. Now, you're laughing at that because you realize how foolish that is. You can be saved when you're sick. Did you know that? You can be saved and know it when you're well. You can be saved and know it when you're sick. In other words, when saved, a person has the reality of hope won, salvation. Stay with me. Same number, number one. When saved, a person has the reality of hope two. Hope two is maturity. We've been dealing with this subject, and I've given you this information over and over again. I want you to see how powerful this is. So number one, when saved, a person has the reality of hope one and hope two, salvation and maturity. Number two, after salvation, a new hope is in view. After salvation, a new hope is in view. Number three, hope one, two, and three are all fulfilled by imputations. Now let me repeat that. Hope one, hope two, hope three are all fulfilled by imputations. Over the past week, we've given a lot of information on the subject of imputation. We've emphasized real, actual imputations, and we've emphasized judicial imputations. We've emphasized the fact that real, actual imputations is where there is an identity between the subject and the recipient. I believe you understand and remember that. You remember that we've emphasized judicial imputations. A judicial imputation is where there is no identity between the subject and the recipient. For instance, there is no identification between the Lord Jesus Christ and an unredeemed, lost, unsaved individual. Here is a depraved person, an unsaved person. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there an identification between those two? No. So there has to be an imputation. Turn this thing around and let's look at Jesus Christ. And let's look at sin. Is there any sin in the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Jesus Christ was born, virgin conceived, virgin birth, without a sinful nature. So Jesus Christ is not identified with sin. And yet He became identified with sin in that He took upon Himself your sin and mine. The Scripture says that He died on the cross for your sins and mine. So there is no identification, so there has to be a judgment there, a sentencing. The judge, God, judged the Lord Jesus Christ in your place and mine. So Jesus Christ received the imputation of our disobedience. How fantastic that is. So there's no identification. It's a judicial imputation. We understand that. So, hope one, hope two, hope three. Now listen to me. Hope three are all fulfilled by imputation. One of these days, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Or the rapture will occur. I'm looking forward to teaching this because when you get to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it's such a magnificent verse. The word rapture is not found in the Scripture. Did you know that? But in that 1 Thessalonians 4:17, I just wanted to shout, I wanted to call each one of you today and shout it to you. But didn't want to take the time. You might not have been available anyway. I wanted you to see what the word was in the Greek. It is the word which means to seize, to catch out. And you know what it says? It says that at the time, we call it the rapture, at that time, there's going to be a meeting with the Lord in the sky. How this is a, you just need to go home and look at it. It's wonderful. Not going to do with any more with that now. But hope one, two, and three. Hope three emphasizes the blessings and rewards for eternity. You're only one heartbeat away from that. You're only one breath away from that. You're going to be in His presence forever and ever. Point four. The hope of blessing is replaced by reality of blessing and salvation. The hope of blessing is replaced by reality of blessing at maturity. Now, if you're listening carefully, you're seeing what I'm presenting. I'm talking about something that's real. The hope. Have you ever heard someone say, if you say, "Are you a Christian?" They'd say, "Well, I hope so." What do they mean? Are they talking about a hope like we're talking about tonight? A hope that's secure and stable and strong? No, they're not. That's not what they're saying. They're saying, "I hope so. I don't know whether I'll make it or not, but I hope so." How tragic and sad. The hope of blessing is replaced by the reality of blessing at salvation. If you're listening to those words, you're saying the hope of blessing is replaced by the reality of blessing at salvation. Which simply means I'm saying to you that you and I should say tonight, "I know without doubt that I'm saved, and I'm blessed because I'm saved based upon the Word of God." Secondly, the hope of blessing is replaced by the reality of blessing at the time of Christian advance, maturity. Why do I teach the way I teach? Why are we here session after session? I'm not presenting the plan of salvation over and over again because you're saved. What's my purpose then? It's to help you and all of us to advance spiritually and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'll never do that unless we're perceptive to God's plan and unless we're listening attentively and carefully to another verb, another adjective, another verse, yes, another scripture. Number five, blessings are anticipated through hope and realized by imputation. Blessings are anticipated through hope and realized by imputation. Number six, there are two hopes that are realized while we're here on the earth. There are two hopes that are realized while we're here on the earth. Salvation and maturity. Please understand that God has allowed me to love you and teach you verse after verse. It's amazing to me when I turn back through my notes. One of these days when the Lord calls me home, I hope I'm using that word hope, I hope someone will take my notes and use them. I have notes and notes and research and research, thousands and thousands of pages. I've been saying I've been preaching 61 years. I looked in the church directory and Pat put in there I've been preaching 62 years. So I missed 1 year. I believe it's right, 62 years. All these years, I would love for Michael Walters to take my notes. I would like for others to take these notes. I'm not saying that everything there is perfect and everything is as it should be, but I promise you one thing, you'll be blessed if you just turn page after page, hour after hour, through those notes. Now that kind of sounds like I'm getting ready to die, doesn't it? No, I don't really mean that. I plan on living another 25 or 30 years. We've only been here 36 years, and I plan on at least matching that with another 36 years. Two hopes, number six. Two hopes are realized in time, salvation, and maturity. But hope three is fulfilled in eternity. Now, I want to give you 5 points. We're going to close with these 5 points because they're powerful. I'm calling this through the eyes of an advanced believer. Through the eyes of an advanced believer. I've drawn some conclusions that I believe that the people in this room are able to comprehend and understand. And I call it through the eyes of an advanced believer. Number one, at salvation, we do not see the blessings of maturity. At salvation, we do not see the blessings of maturity. There are many people who are saved and they live long lives as saved individuals, but they do not advance. They're not perceptive to God's truth. They're not hungry for God's Word. They do not do what you're doing, and that is study God's Word every single day. Cleanse of sin, fill the Spirit, study God's Word every day. I trust that that's what you do. But many people at the point of salvation do not see the blessings of maturity. Number two, the blessing of imputed righteousness gives us hope of having these blessings. The blessing of imputed righteousness gives us hope of having these blessings. Now let me expound that on that a moment. I'm talking about an understanding of what God is doing for us on a daily basis. If you and I will focus on the proper things of life and keep our focus clear and keep our priorities straight, all of us are challenged by this. I want you to know, not a person in this room is not challenged on a daily basis about whether or not your priorities are right and your focus clear. All of us. And so I challenge you as I challenge myself. Every single day, we must understand that the blessings of imputed righteousness gives us this hope of having the blessings. The more we understand what God's Word teaches about imputations, the more we're going to appreciate His blessings. Could I stop a moment and repeat something? And that is, a dead person, unsaved, dead person spiritually, cannot understand. He's a psychikos, she's a psychikos, soulish person. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that that unsaved person has a body and a soul that's eternal. But the unsaved person is spiritually dead. Now, you're going to hear me say this again. They are dichotomous. Body and soul. How do you think a person who is not saved, who is not engaged or attached to the spiritual aspects, how can they understand anything spiritual? They cannot. So, if a person receives salvation, then imputation takes place. God works the miracle of imputation, and regeneration is what takes place when a person believes. Regeneration sets up an environment so that there can then come in spirituality. Christ. Christ cannot go into a sewer. Christ cannot go into depravity. Christ cannot go into a dead person spiritually. So the person believes. Efficacious common grace. And regeneration immediately takes place. Upon that point, at that split moment, God imputes His righteousness. And that's the reason why Jesus said, I and you and me. Have you realized that Jesus Christ lives within each one of us? Think about it. He lives within us. So, at salvation, we do not see the blessings of maturity. Number two, the blessing of the imputed righteousness gives us hope of having the blessings. Number three, at maturity, we do not see the blessings of eternity. At maturity, if we go to the point of reaching spiritual advance, we do not see the blessings of eternity. But when we study God's Word and we begin to comprehend the doctrine of imputation, and then imputed blessings gives us a confidence, anticipation, and hope for the future. Now, let's take a look at this. Jesus Christ, Romans 5:2, through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in a perfect tense and we rejoice. Kakaomai, beautiful. How do we stand? We stand and we rejoice, epi, upon the hope of the glory of God. How amazing. Two more points. Four. Imputed righteousness is the hope for blessings and in time, and blessings and rewards for eternity. I want to stop here and shout a moment. I want you to see it. Imputed righteousness is the hope for blessings in time and the blessings that await us in eternity. And number five, the resurrection body is the hope for blessing throughout eternity. Now I have page after page after page of information in relationship to those very 6 points. But that's where we're going to stop. Let's look one more time at this magnificent verse. I told you at the beginning that there were 7 beautiful words here. What are they? Through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice upon the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:2. May we bow for a moment of prayer. These last moments are dedicated to those who hear this message by way of the internet. May I assure you that God's grace is so magnificent and so wonderful, and God has a plan for your life. If you will only accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can begin to realize how fantastic life can be for you. Oh, it's so wonderful. He does not plan for us to be living a life of frustration and confusion. He doesn't want us to live a disastrous life. He wants us to live a joyful, triumphant, abundant, victorious life. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Your first step, of course, is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And those of you who hear this message who have already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, my encouragement to you is that you desire and hunger for God's Word more than you hunger for your own individual food each day. Because having this spiritual food will drastically change your life. You can have peace and happiness in life. God desires that for you. If you're only determined that you're going to advance on a day-by-day basis. That's why we study God's Word, because that's the only way we can have the mind of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, His plan is so great. Why don't you trust Him if you haven't done so? And if you've already trusted Him, why don't you determine to find a place where you can study God's Word consistently and faithfully, that you can grow up in advance and become a mature spiritually advanced believer. And now, Father, thank you so much for the challenges of life and the blessings of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.